Bill Russell, I, Paula Gordon, Bill McKibben, the three of us are together in conversation, a leading edge conversation. This is the conversation that we have to have if we are going to sustain life on Earth. You're talking about humanity. You're talking about changes as big as anything since before primates evolved. And we can do something about it now.
Yep. Barely, but we can. And we can do a lot of things.
And we can build on those things that are the most human things about us.
That's right. You know, like, think about energy itself. Our idea is it comes from a long ways away, and we consume it. But it doesn't need to be that way. We have new technologies. My house, I have the roof all covered with solar panels. It's tied into the electric. And by the way, I live in Vermont.
Okay? That so would be Vermont.
If you're living in Georgia, say, you know, there's a lot more sun.
The payoff's better.
Yes. But, you know, it's great fun to walk down and watch my electric meter turn the wrong way, to realize that I'm a utility on a sunny day, to realize that my neighbor is cooling his beer with the sunlight that's falling on my shingles. That sense of connectedness, of network, of a community, albeit a community of electrons almost in this case, is a good metaphor for what we need to do. It's environmentally benign. It's much more on a human scale. And that scale is what we got to get back to.
Well, and you keep talking in Deep Economy about happiness. Well, there's happiness in that.
There is.
You're part of something tangible.
That's it. You're part of some connection. Humans are built for connection. That's what we like. And the trouble is that when we've been as hyper... I mean, if you think about fossil fuel, it made us rich. It's now destroying our climate. And it also made us the first human beings in the world who have no actual need of our neighbors. You know, everything that we do comes to us from a distance. Everybody on your block could keel over some mysterious disease tomorrow. While it might alarm you some, it wouldn't impinge on any of the necessities of your daily life. You'd still have food and shelter and heat and all that. We need to reel in some of those supply lines. We need to remember what it means to have neighbors. It's hard to do that when you get as used to that individualism as we do. I mean, there was a story in the Times maybe 6 months ago, and it attempted to answer the interesting question of what's actually in all those houses, the size of junior high schools that you see sort of pop up around the landscape. Turns out one of the reasons that so many new houses are so big is that they come with dual master bedrooms. That is, you know, the husband snores or the wife pulls off the covers or something. And so the American answer is, let's add 900 square feet. That has implications, shall we say, for the amount of energy it takes to run the house. But it's also just completely depressing. You know, the richest people in the world, and we're sort of so unable to hunker down in our own cave, looking out across the hallway at our mate.
That's, you know? That's solitary confinement.
Yes, it's more or less.
That's prison.
Plush, but solitary. But the signs of things like farmers markets are the signs that we want to break out of that and that we're trying to break out of it. And the key is not to preach a lot of sermons about community. The key is to rebuild those kind of economic institutions like farmers markets that bring us into daily contact with each other.
I want to sort of do an object lesson experiment. Your 350.org is an intergalactic effort to begin to connect people to create a movement, a movement that is more than just America, though America desperately needs it, but it's worldwide, because ultimately this is a worldwide problem.
Yes,
we're all going to suffer.
They don't call it global warming for nothing.
That's right.
Yes.
Intergalactic warming.
Yes,
we're in the process of developing a web portal. That web portal, in addition to the program we've been doing for 10 years, which will be one little piece of it, also includes what we're calling infinite conversations with scientists, with philosophers. There's a section that is history, all the history that we didn't get, that we need in order, in terms of telling the stories. The environment's a big piece of that. But I say all that because my offer to you is, if you're willing to accept, is I want to put your website dead center of that. And you've solved a problem for me because the environment's a big issue, and energy's got to be a big issue. We're working on that as well from a different standpoint. But I want to be able to utilize your knowledge and expertise and understanding to make available to the audience that comes to us that kind of knowledge.
This is just what we want and need. And it's, you know, one of the most beautiful things about the internet is that, you know, you can say, you sort of revive a kind of gift economy in
you
a
bet.
Way. Because it doesn't really cost you anything to link up to other people.
Exactly.
When we were doing these Step It Up demonstrations last year, we made it up anybody who even helped us in the slightest way, you know, a link up to what they were doing and to try to, you know, to try to build that sense of, you know, it's very much fun. It changes the economy from a kind of, I need to beat you sort of thing.
Well, it's also a major change in communication. Mm-hmm. Since the origin of the printing press, first mass communication, more than the human voice could project, it has cost a lot to have access to the media. That's gone.
That's it.
The question now is, how do we utilize this newfound opportunity to talk with and among one another?
And there's this wonderful concept of open source.
Open source. We're trying to do the first open source political movement. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how to save the planet. And we don't even know how to communicate the idea of 350 to everybody on the planet, but that's what we want to do. We need ideas from everyone around. And that's, on the one hand, scary, because people are used to control and I should be able to tell you exactly what we're going to do and what your role is and things. And on the other hand, it's exciting because our gamble is that there are plenty of people around the world who are plenty smart enough and plenty committed enough to figure out how to kind of organize themselves, given a little forum in which to do it, that they will take advantage of it and allow us the privilege of connecting it all up.
And then we learn from each other.
Exactly. Well, right.
And to go to the next step, it would be, I'm sure, helpful to what Paul is doing at the ITC in terms of thinking about what a new Eden would look like, to have input from those people who are on
exactly
your website.
Right.
So if that link also went to this one, so that people were saying,
exactly right,
particularly from other parts of the world, we have a great deal to learn from the rest of the world.
One of the great realizations of the moment is that, you know, after several centuries of sending out missionaries to the rest of the world, there's a strong sense in which we need some coming back, since we're not going to live the way that we live in this country all around the world. And we're not going to live it much longer with oil at $110 a barrel or whatever. We need some good advice and some good help from some other places, too.
Well, there's also a triggering, there's a triggering event that, and sometimes it's what it takes. We have a crisis, but we also have an overlay, which is the housing market in this country,
yep,
and really in the developed world. It's not just
yep
this country, though
yep
I think we provided all the leadership. But that may be one of those triggering events that
I agree
makes it essential. Because all of a sudden, suburbs are much less appealing than they used to be.
I agree. There's some real possibilities.
Possibilities abound. We'll be back for a couple more minutes with Bill McKibben. When we return, be with us.